where did you come back to? When you came back, what did you set up? What sort of a household was where?
Well, I owned a house in Greenfield, a small house in Greenfield. So we came back to that house. But Marcia didn't like the house too much.
So I sold it and we moved into an apartment in Squirrel Hill. On Hempstead Road. And because we were hunting in rather a hurry, it was a third floor walk-up. And after living in a house, even in a small one, an apartment was quite claustrophobic for me. And there was no place to have a workshop or just there wasn't any space to do very much. I'm trying to think of the sequence now because around about that time I changed jobs and went to work for Copper's Engineering and Construction Division, headquartered in downtown Pittsburgh.
And this was about mid-55. It's near where you were married.
Yeah.
Or Copper's, yeah. Copper's downtown Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And then in 1956, Bruce Jeffrey was born.
56.
Bruce was 9 pounds, 2 ounces, and was not a particularly easy delivery for Marcia. But everything turned out fine.
What'd you do for Copper's? Get back to work. No, wait a minute. When's your second child born?
Yeah, why don't we finish the children? Yeah.
Julie was born 4 years later, in 1960.
4 years later. Yeah, 60. Okay.
No.
Well,
we had several stillbirths, but we only had 2 children. I'm trying to remember the sequence exactly, and I guess it doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
Well, why don't we talk about the children, what they're doing now, and get back to that?
Fine. Bruce graduated from Shadyside here in Pittsburgh. And we went shopping for a school for Bruce. As a matter of fact, we went looking a year before he graduated. And Bruce's selection was very easy. He said, I want to go to school in Boston. What good schools are in Boston? So we made, I said, well, fine, why don't you decide which ones you want to go see, and maybe I'll help you add to the list, and you can go look. And he said, well, aren't you going to come along? And I said, I'm going to come along only if you invite me. And he said, well, I want you to come along. And I said, well, I warn you, if I come along, I've got opinions. I'm going to tell you. And he said, well, that's okay. So we made some appointments, and we went to see several schools in Boston. And Boston University is a very big school, somewhat reminiscent of Pitt, except that it's a much more user-friendly kind of school. And he had his formal interview there, and then we went strolling around the campus and we talked to various people. Bruce was very much impressed. At the same time, while we were there, we interviewed at Northeastern, Brandeis, there's another school that's very well known, into the team that just
Boston College.
No.
That's Catholic.
Catholic. It's a good school.
But at any rate,
schools had very different personalities.
Yeah.
And both of our inclinations were Boston University was kind of nice. So I said, all right, let's go back and see it. By this time, we had dropped off Marcia, dropped off Julie, and Bruce and I were alone. So we went back and we were wandering the campus. And this gentleman stopped us and said, where are you? Are you looking for something? And I explained what we were doing. And he said, oh, come with me. Let me help you. And he turned out to be dean of one of the schools. Bruce was interested in advertising and communications, particularly communications, which is one reason for going to looking at Boston. They were one of the two schools east of the Mississippi that are very strong in that field. And he brought us to his office and he made some phone calls and we wound up talking to a woman named Betsy, I can't remember her last name, but Betsy worked for the dean of the School of Public Communications. And she really ran the school. Dean was a nominal title, but she was the real administrator. And we had a very interesting interview with her, and she really fell for Bruce, and she said, look, if you want to come to school this fall, you don't have to graduate high school. I can't enroll you in public communications, but I'll set you up so that you take all the right courses, and then when you finish your first year, you'll switch over to public communications. And you know, everything was so great there. I mean, it was just a wonderful school. We wandered around. We wandered into the dormitories. And we talked to people who lived there. Got glowing reports. Anyway, Bruce did wind up going to BU. He didn't go till he finished high school, which was really more appropriate. And he had a wonderful time there. And he was in all kinds of activities. He was in the theater group, and he produced various shows himself and acted in them, which was really a great love and hobby with him. And in fact, he probably would have been in the theater, except that he happened to be fortunate enough to have an uncle who was in the theater business, and he found out what a hard life that really is. And he was much too practical to stay with that. So, his final graduation, there were two graduations that day. One in the morning was in the old ball field, Senator Ted Kennedy spoke, and the security there was very interesting. There were people, there were snipers with rifles on all the rooftops. At any rate, so that was a big to-do. And then in the afternoon, his school had its graduation in a tent. And that was much smaller, of course. And the speaker at that graduation told the graduating class that there weren't any jobs for them. My question was, where was he 4 years ago so that Bruce didn't get into that box? But at any rate, he was perfectly right. Bruce graduated into a situation where there were no jobs. But we came back to the hotel room and I
thought... That was about 77? There about.
About. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact date. That's about right. We came back to his dorm room for him to pick up a few things, and he sat down on his bunk, and he looked up, and he said, you know, this has been like 4 years of sleepaway camp, but I'm ready to move on. And I thought that was absolutely wonderful, because I think that's a great atmosphere in which to get an education. And for him, it was highly successful. At any rate, in the business Bruce was in, he decided that he had to stay in New York, because, as he said, if you make it in New York, you can go anywhere, and if you make it anywhere else, you never get to New York, and that's where it's at, communications business. So he did, and at first he couldn't get a full-time job, and he freelanced, and he just scraped by the skin of his teeth, and then he did get a job, and then his company, his advertising agency, lost some big accounts, and he was let go with very good recommendations, but let go nevertheless. And at any rate, he bounced around until finally he was working with a fellow named Ed Myers. And the two of them schemed for over a year. And finally, at the end of the year, they went into business together. And Bruce has been in his own business ever since. Ed Myers has since left and moved to the Carolinas to what for him is a more comfortable climate. And Bruce has been very successful in his communications business. He acts as a financial a consultant to financial institutions, people who are selling mutual funds, brokerage firms, people who are marketing all kinds of securities. And he helps them to position their products and position their companies, and then he does public relations for them. And as an example, if you have done any reading about Baron Asset, which is a very successful medium-sized fund, mutual fund, Bruce has been responsible for placing that in Wall Street Journal, in Fortune Magazine, New York Times, and stuff like this. And
what's the name of his business?
Perlman & Myers. And he and his wife, Kathy, work together, and they are the sole owners, work people in that business.
I was going to ask you about Kathy. When did Kathy get married and join? So we need to know about that. Married Kathy about 10 years ago?
That's a little over 10 years. It's Catherine.
Is Myers M-E-Y-E-R-S?
M-Y-E-R-S.
Do they have any children?
No.
No.
Bruce lived with my daughter.
Oh.
In New York. After she graduated. A year or two, if I remember.
The shared apartment?
The shared apartment. I think he was more or less at the beginning of his career.
Pretty much so. Neither one of them could afford an apartment.
Hardly.
Yeah.
What about your Julie? Tell us about
Julie was weird. Go ahead.
Do you want that much detail?
No.
What?
Julie, tell her about the graduation, and then she went to Italy. She cut out of Alderdice to call it to Barnard to Italy and then back.
When was she born?
Whose story is this?
I'm glad he knows your whole story.
Julie was born in 1960.
I know it about as well as he's telling me.
Well, Howard has heard much of this most of this before, so it's probably very boring.
No.
Fine. At any rate.
I would have been the only one to tell that my Michelle and Bruce shared an apartment in New York. I mean, you notice he skipped it.
You know, it absolutely slipped out.
Go ahead.
As I said, Julie was born in 1960, and she was a much smaller baby. Julie had to be very competitive because of her older brother. Mm-hmm. And at any rate, at a very early age, she picked her own clothes, and she was very opinionated. Independent sort of individual.
Yep.
And her days at Taylor Alderdice weren't the greatest for her, so she decided she wasn't going to stay and finish her senior year. In order to not go another year, she lacked a couple of credits for graduation, so she talked one of her teachers into getting special assignments for her, providing sort of out-of-curriculum course, which she completed with flying colors, and that way she was able to graduate at the end of the junior year, and she wanted to go off to
Barnard.
Didn't I tell part of this story before?
No.
No? All right. We went interviewing with Julie as well. We went to Radcliffe, and I was really hoping that she wouldn't get into
We have a lot of time. Go ahead.
I was really hoping she wouldn't get into grad school, because we were sitting out there while Julie was in interviewing, and I was looking at all these alumni magazines, and all the alumni women were in high positions, they were all divorced, and they were all miserable. And that was kind of the beginning of Women's Lit. So they were pioneers with arrows in the back. And I hope that Julie would not go to such a school. At any rate, she went to Northwestern, but she went there in the middle of winter. And she came back and she said, I've never been so cold in my life. I don't want to go to Northwestern. And she interviewed at Barnard. And she really wanted to go to Barnard. And I was very much against it because Julie was only 16 years old. And Barnard is across the street from Harlem. And it's a very rough neighborhood. And that's quite a place to send a 16-year-old girl on her lonesome. And she worked on her mother, and her mother worked on me. And I was adamant that I didn't want her to go. But in the long run, I realized that you really have to assess children as individuals, not for their age. And her acceptance came into Barnard. And then she came in with acceptance in hand, and she said, I'm kind of scared. So I said, well, Julie, tomorrow morning get on an airplane and go up to Barnard. They'll put you up. They'll find a place in the dormitory for you. And you stay there as many days as you want. And when you come home, you'll know where you want to go. She came home completely enthusiastic. So Julie went to Barnard. And she made a lot of friends in Barnard. She had a great time. She took advantage of everything there was to do in New York. She went off campus and took dance lessons with starlets who were talking about various musical shows. She did all kinds of activities. Had a great deal of fun there. I'm trying to think of what time Julie went to Italy. But at any rate...
But she graduated from Barnard.
Well, but actually she had gone to Italy
before that. Yeah, sure. And no, tell us about the year in Italy, that's all.
And at any rate, she really felt... she had a great time in Italy. She wanted to go back there and do work. So when she finished Barnard, she said, I'm going off to live and work in Italy for a year. And I said, good, I hope you make a living.
What did she study at Barnard? What was her major?
She had a liberal arts degree. The one thing that I insisted with both children is that they go to school and learn a trade. But Julie was so extraordinary in many ways. We discussed this many times late at night, she and I. And I decided that in her case, she didn't know where she was going, and she had to find herself. And she would land on her feet. She was kind of laying on her feet. Yeah. So whenever she found an interest, she became totally absorbed in that interest, and she learned everything about it. She focused on that, and she went on something else. So she went through a great many things.
Yeah, she had been, I think, in sophomore year for some months or half a semester or something like that in Italy on one of the Barnard programs.
It wasn't a Barnard program. She went to...
Then she went back after.
This fellow in Pittsburgh ran an art school in Lucca, Italy. Mm-hmm. And she went for that art school during the summer. Mm-hmm. And he was supposed to teach them the language and teach them to draw, and he wasn't a good job of leader, so she used Lucca as a base of operations, and she bummed around all over the countryside, and she learned the language on her own.
Very wonderful experience.
And she came back thoroughly in love with Italy, so she wanted to go back. And in fact, at one point she said, I think I'd like to drop out of school for a year and go to Italy, and we said, that's fine, Julie, but when you come back, please don't pay for your education. Our planning says that now. So Julie finished, and she did go off to Italy, and she had a lot of interesting experiences there, and she did support herself, and she did see a lot of the country. In fact, on one occasion, she decided She was looking around. She decided she wanted to see the Dolomites. So she found herself a ride up to the Dolomites, and she arrived there dead broke. Have you heard this before?
No, but it sounds so much like my daughter.
And lots of kids. Yeah. This is the right time.
No, different country.
For an adventure, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
So she went around to the various hotels, and she got a job as a chambermaid.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, the first 3 days, she thought she wouldn't live through it, working so hard. But she survived, and she saw the Dolomites. Anyway, that's the way Julie lived and worked in Italy. She had about 3 jobs because she couldn't make a living at any one of them.
And she was able to speak the language by this time?
When she came home, she was so fluent in the language. We were sitting in a restaurant, and a new immigrant Italian was busboy. And the two of them got into a conversation, and he said to her, in Italian, hey, tell me, are you going to be able to get a job here? Can you speak English? So... And incidentally, she's teaching her babies Italian as well.
What is she doing now?
She brought home an Italian cat, too, with bilingual.
Yeah. What, Bob, what is she doing now?
Now she's in her own business.
1997, in own business.
What kind of business is that?
She's in a consulting business. Her company is called Brand Builders, and she helps companies to position various products, sometimes good products, sometimes old ones that are falling by the wayside and need some freshening. And she consults with them on how to position these products. She came with...
In Boston.
Like
in Boston.
In Newton, Massachusetts.
Sometimes. Similar to what your son's doing.
No, because his focus is public relations and her focus is marketing.
Right.
She's really interested in marketing. When she finished Brandeis, she lived and worked in Italy, and then she had several jobs, both of which were kind of dead end. Although she was making a lot of money at one of them, just selling ad space. And she decided she wanted to go back and take an MBA, so she did. She took an MBA at Columbia. And when she came out of Columbia, she had her choice of jobs. But she went to Procter & Gamble, because Procter & Gamble is foremost in the country, if not the world, marketing consumer products. She said, if I can work with Procter & Gamble, I'll go anywhere. And she was right, she did. From Procter & Gamble, she went to Stride Right Shoes, and she became vice president of marketing for Kids Shoes. Left that to go into her own business. And her very first proposal hit, and she was in business.
Where did you get the name Brand Builders?
Well, that's what they do.
Brand. Okay.
Brand, B-R-A-N-D. She was a brand manager at Procter & Gamble. In fact, she was assistant brand manager at Crest Toothpaste, which was then their key line.
Brand.
Right. And when she left, she was brand manager for Pantene shampoo.
Oh.
And many of the advertising and marketing things that you may be familiar with from Pantene, Julie started back then. So,
he sold Pantene, and they did have good marketing at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She married, she Julie him. Married when?
We were married about 10 years.
Okay.
And has two children. Skylar, S-K-Y-L-A-R, is 3 and a half. And Kelsey, K-E-L-S-E-Y, is 1 and a half. Kelsey is a little girl.
Married to
Paul Fuchs, F-U-C-H-S. Julie kept her maiden name, but when the children came along, they decided they needed to have a name in common.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said that he would be just as happy to change his name, so they adopted the name Fox, the compromise
Luke's form and just doesn't make it.
No, family.
So it's FOX.
Fox. She says there's one nice thing about it. When you call up the restaurant for a reservation, you don't have to spell it for them.
I just spelled it for
okay.
You know what? Let me see how much is left, because that's...
Okay. I wanted to find out about some of the home practices where you went on vacation, the religious, whether your children were bar mitzvah or you went to synagogue. I don't think we talked about that.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Julie was confirmed that Bruce was bar mitzvah, and we remember as a Brit of Shalom, which is a Reformed congregation. And we were from before the time they were born. They both went to religious school at Rosh Sholem. Julie was completely turned off by it. Bruce was neutral to it. And I can't say that their religious education was much of a success. We were... I guess we were not avid practitioners. We did Friday night services before dinner, and we went to high holidays, but we weren't frequent visitors to temple. And so that's about where that situation rested. We had very, very happy years with the Disney World. Very sweet.
How could Bruce be bar mitzvah in Rosh Hashanah?
They just don't have bus mitzvahs.
They had started it.
I think he was on first classes.
He was the one first.
What about family vacations? Did you go anything special?
When the kids were very small, we belonged to a swim club, Bel Air Swim Club. That was out back in Monroeville, and we spent a lot of our summers there. And for the first couple of years, and by the way, we had bought another house, and we lived at the corner of Tilbury and Nicholson. A very nice, pleasant house, nice neighborhood. We were a block away from Frick Park, where the kids went to the playground there and played. And, in the first several years, we didn't have spare money for vacation, so we spent our time at the swim club. And I'm trying to think where the places where we took the kids. It's not too easy to travel with kids. And so we took short vacations with them. Now, when Marcia and I began to take longer vacations, we were very fortunate because their grandparents in Sharon were just delighted to have them. And so we would drive them up there and park them, and off we would go. This led to some funny things now and then. I remember Marcia and I were in Amsterdam, and our mail had not caught up with us. And finally, it did catch up with us, and we got a letter from Marcia's mother that said, "Well, Bruce is all right now, so don't worry. Everything is good. He's recovering. Everything is fine." Because we hadn't gotten the earlier letter. And in fact, on one trip that we had planned to, I believe it was a trip we planned to go to Israel, Marcia and I. And Bruce came down with something like roseola, and a high fever. And the baby nurse, Mossy, who had attended both children when they were babies, had been moved in to live in the house at that time. And Bruce came down with this horrible fever, and Howard Normalstein, who was their pediatrician, came over. And we said, "Well, Howard, what do you think?" And he said, "You're going to be fine. Just go." So we went. With our hearts in our mouths, we went. We did get to some interesting places with kids. We took the kids to Bermuda on one trip, and they thoroughly loved that. we had another trip up to Maine to Bangor and Bar Harbor, back to Sunday, and I showed them where I had lived and gone to school, and all the family fell in love with Maine, as much as I did back then.